This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
All right, this story about PKR Vice President Rafizi Romney. Now, he's been released on a two-year good behavior bond after his 18-month jail sentence for the OSA, the Official Secrets Act. The Official Secrets Act was overturned by the appellate court here today. If you remember, Umar, Rafizi was found guilty under the OSA for revealing official secret documents regarding 1MDB dealings in 2016.
That's right. So, of course, those documents are no longer under the Official Secrets Act.
Yes.
Since the Pakatan Harapan government took over, Rafizi's lawyer had also confirmed that the bond would mean that Rafizi is no longer restricted from contesting in elections due to this OSA conviction, right?
Yeah, and of course, he was the former PKR Secretary General. He was previously the MP for Pandan, and he wasn't eligible to contest in the 14th general election due to that said conviction and jail sentence. And so the three-member panel at the Court of Appeal allowed Rafizi's appeal against his jail sentence over two convictions under the OSA and released him on a good behavior bond of 10,000 ringgit.
That's right.
Yeah, well, so in the discussion of everything that has taken place with regards to this, we're headed to the man himself. We have the PKR Vice President, Rafizi Romney. He joins us now on the line. Rafizi, thank you very much for being with us on the evening edition. And just in light of the news, a big congratulations to you. Tell us, what was your initial reaction to this update?
Well, it's one of the range of outcomes that we expected, because the best case scenario was I would be let off on a good behavior bond, because that was our application today. The worst case scenario is I go to jail, you know, and our application was dismissed. So, to be frank, you know, it didn't come too much as a shock, nor was it, unexpected. I knew that it was one of the few outcomes that could have happened, and I was fully prepared for any one of the eventuality. But, you know, it turns out to be that the court agreed with my counsel's submission that because this is a national interest case, and therefore the court has within its discretion to release me on good behavior bond. So I'm glad and I'm thankful, though it didn't really come as a big surprise. Mm.
All right. So what happens now then, Rafizi? I mean, you're a free man. It's Malaysia Baru. Are you going to get right back into politics?
Well, I don't intend to get involved with any public office, at least for these 2 years, because I don't think people understand how much toll it has taken for some of us who had campaigned nonstop for the last 9 to 10 years. I've campaigned nonstop for Pakatan since 2010, you know, in and out of court, you know, weekly ceramah, and it has taken a lot of personal and physical and family and tolls on my family. So I would actually prefer a very quiet 2 years, so that I need to earn a living, I need to build some career just like anyone else. I would still remain in PKR because, I don't think it's responsible for me just to walk out just like that, but I don't intend to have any public role or any public office. So I think the best thing is to just spend as much time as possible to make it up for the last 9 or 10 years that I've been campaigning.
Well, Rafizi, I guess given the results of GE14, you should be quite happy with your gig as a pollster. And I guess, will you be continuing your work at Invoke Malaysia?
Well, yeah, I suppose. I mean, there's a lot of things that we are exploring, at Invoke, because the skill set that we have developed over the last 2 years is actually very useful, not just in polling or in politics or in profiling. You know, it can be deployed in so many other things that will be helpful to society at large in many ways. You know, for example, we are looking at how to help job seekers. That's one of the first things that we are working on now. So there are some non-profit projects that we're looking at. There are some spin-offs that we can do, that we can commercialize the skill set that we have developed. So, yes, I will be just like any other citizens working on some private projects and some private concerns, which hopefully can balance between the commercialization efforts we are putting in, as well as balancing the fact that there's still some demands that we retain some connection with the public to invoke, because there's about 41,000 volunteers. Maybe some volunteers are not too ready to just be dissolved and dismissed. You know, there's a lot of opportunity to harness on what Invoke has built in the last 2 years to contribute further in other areas in society. So, you know, it's all quite fluid for the time being. But I'm in no rush for anything, because I think the public duty part is off. You know, I'm just like anyone else, a private citizen. And I think I am entitled to some private time to pursue what I think is best. For myself and for my family.
No, of course. I mean, you are obviously allowed some privacy for sure. Although I was going to ask if you'd consider standing in any by-election should one be called.
No, it's not my mind. It's not my mind. I know that a lot of people kept on asking as if that they think I'm lying, but I've been consistent about it. And I think I kept coming back to the fact that many people didn't appreciate the toll it has taken on some of us personally and my family, and I need to at least, you know, 1 or 2 years to recover personally as a person, you know, to go through a normal life again. So I have no intention to stand in any violence.
All right. Well, and it's understandable given the amount of things you've had to endure in the past. And of course, not forgetting quite recently, the backlash you received from the public as well. Malaysians were up in arms when you criticized the current Prime Minister Tun Mahathir and the way he had selected his senior ministers shortly after the May 9th win. Tell us, how did you take that? Did you feel compelled to defend yourself?
Well, you know, I mean, it didn't surprise me at all, because that was not the first time, nor will it be the last time that Malaysian public reacted like that. There had been numerous instances in the past where usually I receive a flag for my decision or my public stand on a certain issue. But I think over time, as the public begins to observe certain developments which in the beginning was not available to them. And then I think they could understand where I was coming from. I mean, I could cite Kajang Moo, for example. I received a lot of flack similar to what had happened in the last few weeks when I defended that there was a need to remove Tan Sri Khalid, or the fact that PAS had to observe to the decision-making process within Pakatan Rakyat then, that if PKR as a party entrusted to lead in Selangor had decided to remove Tan Sri Khalid, then by convention, other parties adhere to that. You know, in the beginning, everyone ran me down for all sorts of things. But over time, I think a lot of where I was coming from, the public quietly absorbed it. I mean, some eventually went on and harassed Tan Sri Khalid and screamed at PAS and as much as they were praising PAS before. Similar when we decided to go ahead with establishment of Pakatan Harapan, the so-called leading civil activist in our society, Ambika, Maria Chin, all ran me down. You know, we were not ready. We, until the very end, the middle class, the intelligentsia, you know, the very loud chattering classes in this country were still thinking that the only way to defeat PN was to accommodate PAS and to kowtow to PAS. You know, I was very persistent in both instances that the decision was based on many consideration and data and events and developments that, while we did not disclose everything to the public, I think eventually those developments will be transparent to the public, and I think they could see from where we were coming.
Now, do you think Rafizi will be seeing this culture of open criticism towards this new government? Because that's certainly what they're preaching.
I think it's going to be the same with this issue about speaking up our minds against the euphoric obsession with the new government. I believe that it's not so much about the decision they made. It's not so much about a particular decision. We have, from the very beginning, must protect as much as possible the consultative and inclusive manner that a decision has to be made. Likewise, when I was asked by the media, and the media kept on asking me, just the way that you kept on asking, you know, the public does not understand that I have to respect the right of the media to keep on probing as much as it is annoying, you know, but I have to accept it. It's the media who keep on asking, and I think they have the right to probe what was the key factor that contributed to the change, you know. I had a choice to basically play politics and just doing apple polishing. But with all the data that I have, it pointed out that the change was due to the total rejection of the end. And the primary mover for that was the bread and butter issue. Now, I could lie and play politics, but that's not what I think is necessary now. I think if we had defeated the end by telling the truth, you know, I will continue to maintain telling the truth based on the set of data that I have, whether or not the public likes it. Tough luck to the public. I did not go through all the hassles for the last 9 years going up and down the court.
Right. I mean, I guess on this issue, like, the public is going to call you out for saying that.
I mean, of course, it's a bit, I think it's very condescending for the large part of the middle class who are listening to this, who basically send messages and posted online about how I should not be selfish and put the interests of the country first before my personal need. I mean, sometimes I feel like telling them, for someone who seemed to be childish and selfish, as accused by, you know, the middle class in the last few weeks, is that someone who has been going in and out of lockups? It's not the middle class. It is me who had put my neck for the last 7 or 8 years, bringing up issues that nobody dared to touch. I mean, I can understand the frustration and the euphoria, but I think the public also has to be matured enough and fair enough that when criticisms are made against a public figure like myself, I think you have to take into account the ordeal that some of us had gone for the longest of time to make sure that we defeat the end, to turn the table around as if saying that I'm a danger to a Pakatan Harapan is actually quite childish on the part of this criticism. So I took everything in my stride because this is not the first time I had these run-ins with the public. I've had it so many times, and I think my track record is intact that some of the decisions, although it was very controversial in the eyes of the public, I think was for the good reason.
All right, Rafizi, so you're walking away from politics completely then?
I think it's good for politicians as well to sometimes go back to being a normal citizen because that connects you to the public. But I think on the other side of it, I've been at the forefront of national politics for close to 9 years. And it was more intense than your average politician. I want to pursue some professional interest, some new sets of knowledge that I cannot get from being a politician. Things seem to converge nicely forward. Not that I'm walking away 100%, but I think Pakatan government is on track. I think I have continued to play my role, whether the public likes it or not. The urgency for me to take on frontline public role is perhaps not as urgent as it was when we were in opposition. Because when Pakatan is in government, there are a lot of people queuing to fill up the positions and to and they don't have to go through as many ordeals in order to do a job as a government, as opposed to being in a frontline opposition when you had to put your neck. There was not many of us who wanted to put our neck on the line. So when there were few people around, then I suppose some of the responsibilities fell on to me. Now, I think when we are in government, I think the Pakatan Harapan government is spoiled for choice. And that gives me the room to basically take a back seat and pursue some of the things that I have always wanted to pursue from the last 10 years. Because after all, I am an accidental politician. And perhaps that's the reason why I could do certain things that I've been doing for the last 10 years. And it's very important to balance between my professional career development and you know, my family time and my connection with being a normal person rather than just 100% always being in the limelight as a frontline politician.
Well, fair enough, Rafizi, and we wish you the best of luck in pursuing that work-life balance. That was PKR Vice President Rafizi Ramli joining us here on the Evening Edition, giving us his thoughts on his acquittal, as well as his plans moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, you can hear more of Rafizi Ramli. I mean, I'm going to get into the weeds about Invoke and the work he's doing, and I guess his famous, now infamous, predictions for GE14, because he is going to be on The Breakfast Grill live on Monday at 8 a.m.
All right. So for more of Rafizi Ramli on The Breakfast Grill Monday morning at 8 a.m., stay tuned for that. In the meantime, it's the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It's Uma and Ezra on the Evening Edition, keeping you company on your drive home. Just a couple of minutes ago, we got off the phone with PKR Vice President Rafizi Ramli.
That's
we were
right.
Talking about how he's been released on a 2-year good behavior bond after his 18-month jail sentence under the Official Secrets Act was overturned by the Court of Appeal today. And you know, he shared some insights about his future plans, primarily take some time off, spend some time with his family, figure out a career path of sorts in the next couple of years. And
he sounds tired. Well, and rightly so.
And rightly so. And you know, when he mentioned about how sometimes the public isn't aware of the personal toll that it takes.
Yeah.
You know, when you live this type of political life, and you know, as somebody who's, you know, gone in and out of jail, putting his neck on the line on a variety of issues. You know, I think he certainly deserves it. You know, I have a lot of empathy for individuals like this who've just gone on for, you know, 8 years, 10 years, and it's a long time.
Not just the campaigning, right? It's not just the charamas. No. It's the going in and out of court. It's not knowing. It's the constant keeping up to with all the legal cases that are being filed against you, especially when you know they're politically motivated.
And also trying to figure out ways to look at some of the data that he was observing about what are some of the sentiments of where people are, and changing that into political approaches or strategies. And yeah, so we're going to have more of Rafizi Ramli on Monday morning.
That's right.
The Morning Run team will be having him on The Breakfast Grill at 8 a.m. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we've got some calls on the line. We've got Victor on the line. Hi, Victor.
Good evening, Uma and Ezra.
Good evening.
Wow, I'm very happy for Rafizi because I think he's one of the rare fighters. But I, being the cynical person that I am, I can't help but think that if not because of over 5 million of us voting in one way, in a particular way, in the change of government, it might not be so easy for him to be free. the result of the today court decision might go the other way, if not because of over 5 million of us voted in a particular way. So, well, maybe that's just me. But
I think your cynicism is warranted, Victor. I think a lot of people thought that as well coming out of this election. You know, if it was politically motivated, then maybe now the courts are freer to make the right decision as opposed to the politically accurate or astute one.
Yeah, in another way, I think is we are going to see a lot of this politically motivated way to solve all this problem which was initiated politically.
Yeah, absolutely. Victor, thank you very much for calling in and waiting on the line. We appreciate that very much.
Yeah, and you know, and Victor's right. I think everyone's antenna just goes up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, as the I think the court said as well, that, you know, they had put aside the sentence because they had bought the argument from the lawyer that, you know, this was a matter of public and national interest that Rafizi was essentially whistleblowing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, stay tuned to the Evening Edition. We've got more news coming up after the 6:30 news. In the meantime, here's some music by Weezer, Photograph, BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.